Welcome to an exclusive SearchDataManagement.com podcast. Today, we're bringing you a podcast briefing about Sarbanes-Oxley software and compliance. I'm Catherine Marquis, Assistant Editor. When organizations were first faced with the regulations mandated by the Sarbanes-Oxley Act of 2002, often referred to as SOX or SARBOX, organizations didn't have much to choose from as far as technology, according to many analysts and experts. Today, however, more organizations want to lower compliance costs by automating compliance processes. And the SOX compliance software market has responded with new technology. In today's discussion, we aim to demystify SOX software. We will talk about how software can help companies meet SOX regulations, how to pick and implement the right technology, and more. Today, I'm speaking with Michael Rasmussen. Michael is the founder of Corporate Integrity LLC, a leader in education, research, analysis, and advisory services monitoring the challenges and trends of business roles accountable for corporate GRC. Thank you for sharing your expertise with us today, Michael. So to get started, can you give us a brief history of Sarbanes-Oxley? Have the requirements or regulations changed at all since 2002 when it was first introduced?
Excellent question. The challenge there is that the regulation itself hasn't changed as far as the legislation. The requirements and the approach definitely has changed. When people started Sarbanes-Oxley and they looked at the internal control environment, the auditors, particularly the external auditors, which had to provide their validation of controls within the environment, wanted to interpret it very broadly. And so everything started falling under a Sarbanes-Oxley umbrella that you had to it really encompassed all aspects of operational control and risk and compliance and cast a very wide net and was like a huge burden upon organizations. So you had that coming from the external auditors and consultants trying to define it very broadly because it was obviously a big benefit to their bottom line revenues. On the other hand, internal to the corporation, they saw that Sarbanes-Oxley was getting money. And so all of a sudden you had a lot of pet projects that couldn't get approved before all of a sudden starting to get approved because people guised them under Sarbanes-Oxley. So in the early years, we saw a lot of wasted spending for Sarbanes-Oxley, a lot of unclear definition and approach. Therefore, what happened a couple years ago was that there was more definition around it. Auditing Standard 2 was released, and it really is much more closely defined around the processes, systems, and information that encompass the financial reporting and accounting processes. And so there are definitely infrastructure components and server components and application components that fall within the IT part of Sarbanes-Oxley. But it's not just about everything in the organization as people were originally trying to define it as, but it was much more narrowly defined just around the financial reporting and accounting processes and systems. And so we've got much more clearer definition, and organizations, as a result, have seen a lot less costs and ongoing compliance, and those have gone down over the last several years.
So what requirement or requirements do organizations have the most difficulty complying with? Why is that, and how could SOX software help?
Well, I still see some organizations struggling with just the documentation of their environment and maintaining that documentation. I do see a lot of organizations currently struggling with just trying to manage change to their applications and systems and processes that fall within the scope of Sarbanes-Oxley. And so if you think about it, you know, any time a patch is applied to a system like, say, your accounting software, your ERP software, or a new user is added or changes roles within the system or is deprovisioned and has left the organization or such configurations changed, all those are different events that have to follow, you know, specific parameters. So change and configuration management continues to be a headache in monitoring that because organizations are required not just to be compliant at a single point in time during a quarterly or annual assessment. They need to be compliant on an ongoing, continuous basis because their issue and event might happen between audits and assessments. And they need to be able to demonstrate to their auditors that the systems are being maintained in compliance as business changes. The other area I see a lot of challenges on, and I'm doing a large benchmark assessment right now of global 100 firms in the area of access management and segregation of duties, is in that specific area. You know, how do you manage the segregation of duty aspects on these systems when people enter the organization, they change roles, and when often they change roles, they're not deprovisioned, but they actually accumulate a lot of inherited rights over many years, the course of the tenure of their employment. And over that time, you know, there's a lot of segregation and duty conflicts as they change those roles, and all of a sudden somebody that enters an invoice can now be the same person that pays the invoice, and there's huge issues, not even just within SOX, but within the banking sector. You know, that has a lot to do with the whole Société Générale incident this past year. And so segregation of duty seems to be one of the big ones that people are still trying to tackle.
And how would you suggest organizations pick the right software?
Well, different organizations are at different parts of their quest to be Sarbanes-Oxley compliant. For the most part, you know, organizations have, you know, gone through this several years, and these processes are starting to become very well defined and starting to become well tuned. Other organizations continue to trip over themselves because they haven't really paid the proper attention to it. So answering that question really defines on somebody's maturity of where they're at in the Sarbanes-Oxley compliance process. I would recommend that if you haven't addressed it already, you need to start with getting some system in there that can help you document how you're going to be compliant. You know, spreadsheets and Word documents aren't good enough to maintain, you know, compliance documentation. They don't have the non-repudiation in them, so you can't go back and state that that person answered that control question on that date and time and didn't come back and modify their answer after a period of time. This requires that you have some type of content and versioning and significant audit trail around how you document and assess compliance. So that's the step number one if you haven't approached that already. But if you have approached that, you should be starting to look at automated controls and continuous monitoring enforcement of a segregation of duties.
All right, so what's the process for Sarbanes-Oxley compliant software implementation? What are the first steps and, you know, how long does it take?
Again, that really depends on where you're at in the process. By now, every organization that has to comply with SOX has been through this a number of times, unless you're just now being listed and it's your first time through it. But for that part of it, it could just be as simply of moving your documentation into a proper platform that can manage and monitor the content around that with the right audit trails and reporting capabilities. And if that's the case, you know, that can be done in as little as 3 months. It depends on the amount of resources you want to throw at it if you have all that documentation in place. Now, if you have not documented your internal control environment, you're looking at a good 6 to 9 month project these days at least. And from there, if you're looking at segregation of duties and enforcement of automated enforcement of controls within your ERP applications, you know, that can be a very project depending on scope and number of ERP instances you have in your environment, but could be as little as 1 month for, you know, a very simplistic implementation to many months.
So is there a way to measure the potential ROI of implementing SOX software or any metrics that companies can use to know that a SOX software investment will be worth it?
That is a very difficult question. I guess you can try to measure some ROI if your company has a high instance of fraud and things, and you can demonstrate that your SOX compliance has significantly reduced that, where you have a lot less fraud losses in your organization. But to anybody that has that much fraud is in a world of hurt. So my struggle with the question is around the term ROI, return on investment. You know, most compliance software, you're not going to get a return, but you still might see some economies. So your SOX software is not necessarily going to be profitable for your organization. You're not going to see a return on it, but it is going to have an economic impact on your organization, and that it's going to help you streamline your resources. So SOX software should make things more efficient for your organization, where you have a less burden on the business, and the business feels more relieved, and there's less interaction required of them to comply with Sarbanes-Oxley. So it's really a matter of measuring efficiency upon the organization and the amount of time spent before an implementation and the amount of time that individuals and the business have to spend after the implementation. That's the most critical thing to measure.
Thanks for the great discussion, Michael.
Oh, it's my pleasure.
To learn more about Michael Rasmussen and Corporate Integrity LLC, visit their website at www.corp-integrity.com. That URL is also available on the searchdatamanagement.com download page for this podcast. I also want to remind listeners that Michael is an expert on searchdatamanagement.com's Ask the Expert panel, and you can send him your Sarbanes-Oxley compliance or software questions anytime. And you can find more Sarbanes-Oxley governance, risk, and compliance resources at searchdatamanagement.com. And as always, you can find this podcast and other data management podcasts in our podcast library. And remember to add searchdatamanagement.com RSS feed to your newsreader. Subscribe to our email newsletters and check back frequently for articles about MDM, BI, data warehousing, and many other data management topics. Thank you for listening to our podcast today. Signing off from Search Data Management, I'm Catherine Marquis.